Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel reading. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, do you remember that hanging on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed the F verb? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, that was absolutely incredible, right? Well, if you're remembering that, you now smell what the Bible is cooking. And it smells so delicious. The dish that the Bible cooks up is a heaping Good Friday portion of forgiveness. Jesus forgives sinners. He dies for the ungodly. He atones for the sin of all with his divine blood shed on the cross. And you too, speaking our Lord's forgiveness to those who sin against you. That takes us to Matthew 18, today's gospel, where Peter saunters up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter knew what you heard in the Old Testament reading. He knew that Joseph forgave his brothers. Peter knew the prayer that Jesus taught us all, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Peter knew that forgiveness is very important in one's life as a Christian. But Peter has a question about forgiveness, just like many of you. And the question has to do with amount, quantity. How many times, Peter asks, do I forgive the person who sins against me? Now, the rabbis in Peter's day said, oh, you can forgive people three times, but never a fourth. Three times, that's enough. Peter, however, oh, God bless Peter, really. He's willing to go above and beyond three times. Seven times, Jesus? That should be plenty, right? And we're all shaking our heads. Yeah, that's right, Peter, bingo. You're bang on, right, right. Jesus, however, in the text, shakes his head differently. He says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. What's our Lord's point? Here's his point. If you're counting and if you're bookkeeping, you're not forgiving. Do you remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13? Do you remember this? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Do you remember what Proverbs 10 says? Love covers all wrongs. So Jesus then tells a parable in Matthew 18 to clinch this point. Now one can't help but hook it to the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now I chose those words debts and debtors on purpose because it goes with the parable. Check it out. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. And lo and behold, there is a servant who has a shocking and completely irresponsible amount of debt that he owes to his king. His debt is more than he could possibly pay in 10,000 lifetimes. I doubt that Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Donald Trump combined would be able to pay off this outrageous debt. I mean, this dude's debt is like, dare I say it, I will. It's like the United States national debt, which now stands at over $32 trillion. Do you get the picture? Well, the servant begs, pleads for mercy. Wouldn't you? Sure you would. But would you expect it? Well, maybe just a teeny bit. Like, perhaps the king might slightly reduce what he owes and maybe spare the wife and kids from a lifetime prison sentence. But for him, oh, the debt and the prison time would remain. But the king in the parable does the absolute unthinkable, the inconceivable. In fact, it's unbelievable. It's just outrageous. He pities the servant, and what does he do? He's totally merciful, and the king dies to what? To bookkeeping. He wipes away the entire debt. He clears the books, all the debt, the entire lot. He forgives it all. Now you would think that this dude, this debtor, who has been forgiven absolutely everything, the entire debt, the entire enchilada, would pass on that forgiveness in the exact same way. Nope, not hardly. Fat chance. Instead, what does he do? He seeks out a colleague who is in debt to him for a couple of hundred smackaroos. He clenches his fingers around this man's neck, chokes him violently, and demands payment in full right there on the spot. His colleague begs him for mercy. Just give me a little time, please, and I'll pay what I owe you. And this forgiven of everything dude screams, no dice, throws him into the pokey until this minuscule debt is paid in full. He shows him no mercy, no forgiveness. Well, you live in a small town. Most of you do. You live in a small town, and I would argue that word travels pretty fast even in a small kingdom, even without social media in those days. The king is told about what has happened, and he is not pleased. He's hopping mad. The king drags in this forgiven servant and condemns him to prison until his debt will be paid in full, which means he'll be in jail forever. And that is when Jesus says these words, and perhaps they troubled you when you heard them. Jesus says, so also will my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother. And then how did he say it? From the heart. Jesus taught us to pray this way: forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Think about that the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer. In other words, forgive us, Father, in the same way that we forgive. Deal with us, Father, as we deal with one another. So if you don't forgive your brother from the heart, you see, it's about the heart. Now, of course, you hear Jesus say the words from the heart, and what do you immediately think he's talking about? You think he's talking about your emotions and how you feel. No, he's not. From the heart means from your will. Forgiveness is primarily and foundationally, are you listening? I'm going to repeat this because this is going to blow your mind. Forgiveness is primarily and foundationally a calculated deed, no matter how you feel about it. Now, I remind you, of course, from Scripture that Jesus teaches that the heart is the place where sin has its way with us. Remember, it is from the heart, the sin-diseased, sin-infested heart, that all kinds of sin come from, like evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, adultery, false witness, slander. That's in Matthew 15. So if you're going to forgive from the heart, then your heart has to be changed. Now, you can't do that on your own. And so God does that for you. Thanks be to God. How does God do that? I'm glad you asked, because I'm ready to give you an answer. You learn to forgive from your heart. You learn to forgive from your heart. Namely, you will choose to forgive purposely when you see what? The merciful heart of God, who sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, the sinner, the debtor, and who atones for all your sin, your debt. Brothers and sisters, you will learn to forgive from the heart when you see the divine heart of God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus, that sought and saved you, the sinner, in his Good Friday dying. Brothers and sisters, God's heart beats with compassion for you, the least and the lost. God's heart reaches out to the ungodly and his enemy. God's heart is patient. God does not want anyone to perish in sin. God desires everyone to turn and to live. It's the heart of Jesus who prays. What does he pray on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As the Roman soldiers are doing what? Driving nails through his hands and feet to crucify him. You meant this for evil, Joseph said to his brothers, but God meant it for good. Are you picking up what the Bible throws down? Of course you are. The source of you forgiving from the heart is the heart of Good Friday Jesus. There Jesus pours out forgiveness on the entire world. Your forgiveness then to the neighbor is nothing else than his forgiveness. Oh, Kingdom of Heaven, King Jesus has wiped away all your debt, more than you could ever repay. And the law, of course, the Ten Commandments, which delights in bookkeeping and keeping score, yes, the law, with all of its demands, threats, and punishments, those have all been fulfilled. It's paid in full by, yes, that's right, by Jesus, your brother, with his dying for you. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven everything. The entire debt is forgiven. Now, those of you who have been with me in premarital, or if you haven't been but might be in the future, you will remember that I always say to couples who are wanting to get married, there are three words that are vital to their success in marriage. Three words that they must say to each other intentionally, whether they feel like it or not. Yeah. Three words that must be said and heard frequently. And what are those three words? I forgive you. They always think when I'm going this, I love you. Now, those words are important, of course, but I'm here to tell you that without forgiveness, there will be no what? There will be no L-O-V-E. Love keeps no record of wrong. 1 Corinthians 13. Married couples that are bookkeepers doom their marriages. The servant who was forgiven much could have been a reflection of the king and his mercy. He could have tracked down his fellow servant, the one who owed him that little bit of debt, and he could have forgiven it all just like that. And in so doing, he would have enjoyed a big glass of the outrageous freedom of forgiveness. Letting go, brothers and sisters, is liberating. And so God in Christ has let go of your debt, your sin. He's dropped dead to it. He simply forgives you for Christ's sake. And in Christ's forgiveness now, you are free. Forgiveness then is an act of freedom. 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 The prison doors have been thrown wide open. You are free to walk out of that tiny little cell as free men and women in Christ because the books have been wiped clean. Paul says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, freedom. You are now free to step out into this glorious land of liberty, the kingdom of heaven. But remember, it's a free kingdom. And you remember that the king, Jesus, is a bit crazy and has this outrageous tendency to forgive. And so then you live in Christ's freedom and the freedom of his forgiveness by doing what? By forgiving others. Finally, I ask you these pertinent questions. Who suffers? Who suffers when you refuse to forgive? Is it the person who sinned against you or you? It's you. Who is imprisoned when you refuse to forgive? You. Whose actions and feelings are held captive when you will not forgive? You or the person who sinned against you? You. Brothers and sisters, to refuse to forgive is to go back where? It's to go back to the prison cell again. Like who? Like that forgiven servant who wound up where? In prison. That's where unforgiveness leads. Not freedom, but a prison cell. So the kingdom of heaven is about free people forgiving freely. For whose sake? Christ's. So brothers and sisters, happy forgiving. And happy forgiving just as outrageously and just as generously as the King Jesus in his parable, because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. In the name of Jesus, amen.